Would you please turn to Mark chapter 1? Mark chapter 1. We're going to be starting here in Mark chapter 1 and going forward reading several passages in Mark to lay a very strong foundation for where we are headed this morning in the message. In Mark chapter 1, look at verse 21. And they, Jesus and those with him, went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was one in their synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Now, verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. I jump to verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Chapter 3, verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other, And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Verse 7. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude. Well, I guess so. I mean, look, all these cities that he's naming here. And then he says, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. Now take a look in chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. He asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting, and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. I turn over to chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 24. And from thence he arose, and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Now why do you think he could not be hid? Well, because the people from these cities had already come out once before, and wherever he went, word went out. Hey, Jesus is in town. Well, verse 25 says, A certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, in other words, she was Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, And he spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them so much, the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Now chapter 8, verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up, and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands upon his eyes, and made him look up, and he was restored, and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town, nor tell it to anyone in the town. Now, do you really think that man never told anybody that he had been healed? Okay, let me ask you something. He was blind, but now he can see. Anybody who knew him knew he had been healed. What would be the question? Gee, Fred, how'd you get your vision? You follow me? So when Jesus told the guy, don't say anything, I'm sure the guy meant well. But now that he can see and he's not bumping into things, and people are asking him, you know, come on, Fred, how'd you get healed? What do you think? He said, oh, I can't tell you. Oh, no. Sooner or later, somebody's going to say, wait a minute. Weren't you down at that Jesus service the other day? You understand what I'm getting at? So we know that this guy would have said something to somebody who then would have said something to somebody who then would have said, and you get the idea. Chapter 9, verse 14. And when he was come to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus began explaining, This kind does come out, but by prayer and fasting. Now look in chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. All right, now, what we've seen over and over and over and over and over again, Jesus doing things nobody had ever seen. And we also have noticed that there were, well, as one place puts it, great multitudes of people that would show up. Now, obviously, the number of people would be different each time you went someplace. But, you know, from this city, that city, the other city, great multitudes and a great number of people and so forth. And what I'm getting at is people knew. You understand that? People knew what had happened. And just like a few moments ago I mentioned, somebody gets healed, then all the people who know that person who had the problem, they're going to ask, you know, well, wow, how'd you get your hearing back? I mean, you know, here's somebody who's deaf, and somebody comes up to them and holds up a piece of paper where they've written something. I mean, if the person's deaf, they can't hear. And the person says, you know, put that paper away. You know, I can hear you. You know, what? You can hear? Or you know how people who are hard of hearing, sometimes others get around them, hey, Fred, do you know what? And you know, well, why are you yelling, man? I can hear you. How can you hear me? You're deaf. Not anymore. Not anymore. Hey, you know, Barney, you're not bumping into things. I don't get it. Well, I can see. Hey, you're standing up straight. Hey, you're walking. Hey, this. Hey, that. And so word spread. We know word spread. The first passage we read, it talked about how immediately his fame began to spread throughout the region. Now look over in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And in Mark chapter 5, just pick it up here in verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. In other words, there's a crowd of people gathered together at the pastor's house because his daughter had died. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is, being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her, given her to eat. Now he says in verse 43, he charged them that no man should know it. What about all the people that were there and knew that the girl was dead? And then she comes walking out of the house. You understand? People knew. Even though mom and dad maybe didn't say a word, everybody else who was there knew. And even if they didn't know that she had been dead, they knew she got healed. And they also knew this. Jesus was the one who walked in the house. Well, that'll preach. When Jesus walks in the house. Hallelujah. All right, I said that first, Barry. You leave it alone. That's my sermon, Barry. But you notice, yeah, you put that ink pen away right now. But you notice here in verse 35, while he yet spake. Okay, what was it Jesus was speaking? Let's back up. You'll notice in verse 21 it says, much people gathered unto him. Then you get down here to verse 24, after Jesus is going to go with Jairus to his house to minister to the daughter, Jesus went with him, and it said, and much people followed him and thronged him. But, verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Now you have to understand, what this is describing is, people were all over him. I mean, it was a crowd. And so, a lot of people had touched him. But then, verse 32, he looked around to seek her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake. And then we pick up the synagogue ruler's daughter story. So this lady, she has this idea, if I can just touch his clothing, I'll be healed. Well, sure enough, that's what happened. But now, look over in chapter 6. In chapter 6, verse 53, now some time has passed, and it says, and when they had passed, they, Jesus and the people with him, had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, all these people, and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Where do you think they got the idea? If I could just touch, just please, Jesus, just take a nice, slow stroll down the street. And all these people, if they just touch the garment, they're going to be healed. Where do you think they got that idea? What happened with that lady, the throng of the people? They heard the story. She told Jesus what happened. He knew the power had gone out of him. So, word spreads, hey, he doesn't have to lay his hands on you. All you have to do is touch his clothes, and you'll be healed. So, here we see word has spread. Word has spread big time about what Jesus has done, what he can do, etc., and so forth. Now, do you think that, I mean, this is kind of a redundant question. Do you think people knew what Jesus had been teaching and what Jesus had been doing? Well, obviously, you know, a great throng and the press and there was a great multitude. Obviously, people knew what he had done and what he had taught. I'll look back over in Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And just pick it up in, verse 20. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. Now that word friends, it comes from the Greek word para. And in this verse, well, what it means is kinsmen. or it means they who were of him, kinsmen. And that phrase, kinsmen, what it implies is not simply like family, like brothers and so forth, but it can also imply maybe cousins. He had cousins. You understand that? I mean, John the Baptist was a cousin of his because Mary and Martha were cousins. So we're talking family here. And it says here that his friends, and the emphasis on this is not simply, people he knew, you know, hey, we're all on the same basketball team. No, this is talking about people who had some kind of a familial relationship to him. And it says, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. That phrase, beside himself, it comes from the Greek word existimai, and it means to be out of one's mind, delirious or deranged. So, here's the family. They've come, how many of you remember that song, long time ago, they're coming to take me away, ha ha, ho ho, he said, okay, alright, well he's got family, they're coming to take him away, ha ha, ho ho, because they think he's deranged, to the funny farm, they went, okay, they said, he's deranged. Kinsmen said, family said, he is beside himself. He's lost his mind. Really? Talk to the people that have gotten healed. Ask them, is this the work of a crazy man? Do you understand what I'm getting at? The family came against him. But now look over in John chapter 7. We'll come back to Mark here in just a moment. John chapter 7. And in John chapter 7, verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. This word brethren, it comes from the Greek word adelphos, and it means brethren, brothers, or children of the same mother. It actually means children of the same parents, but because Jesus was not the physical offspring of Joseph, in this passage it would mean of the same mother. So we're talking about his family, and basically what they're doing is saying, look, if you're who you say you are, go out there and prove it. Isn't that what he's been doing? Now think a minute. Do you honestly believe that out of all these multitudes, all these throngs of people, all these witnesses, all the people that were healed and the word that was spread, you're telling me that his family never heard any of this? Come on. You and I both would have, we all know. There would have been people who knew Jesus and his family, knew his brothers. And somebody, I know I'm creating scenarios here, but somebody could have gone up to one of his brothers and said, do you know what your brother did for my sister? She had this issue of blood and she got healed. Do you know what your brother did for my uncle? He was blind and he got healed. Do you know what your brother did for my mother? This would have spread. Guys, you know this. When you're talking about this massive number of people, you know his family knew what was going on. They knew it. Now look back over in Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, look at verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah, or Jude, and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. Now, do you see here, we have an identification by name of Jesus' mother, his brothers, and then just simply an identification that he had sisters. It's right in here. And then these people, well, Jesus makes a statement, you know, prophet's not without honor, but in his own country, that would be, you know, where he grew up is one way to put that. But then he says, and among his own kin. Now, this word kin, it comes from a Greek word, sugenes. It means offspring, relative, one of the same family. One of the same, where he says, in his own house, this is talking about in under the same roof. So when he says, among his own kin, that's kind of a broad statement talking about not just brothers, sisters, but it can also, it's also talking about, you know, cousins, well, us, we could relate to it like cousins, nieces, nephews, you know, aunt, uncle, grandkids. And so, in other words, your family. Call it your extended family. That's kind of the image that this word kin is implying. But then when he says in his own house, that's talking about under the same roof. And then in verse 6, it says he marveled because of their unbelief. Now, when we read this, and the way that I've heard it taught so much in the past, it's making reference to the people in the synagogue, verse 2. Well, it is. However, when he talks about no honor in your own country, your own kin, and your own house, and then verse 6, he talks about marvel because of their unbelief, it wasn't simply the people attending church that day. He's actually talking also about his own family. Because of their unbelief. They grew up with him. They knew he was always good. And remember when he was 12 years old, his family, you know, they made the trip to Jerusalem for the feast. And the feast is over. And so they're all going back home. And back then they traveled in groups, in families, large numbers. So remember, they get out like 3 days. And Mary and Joseph, they realize, uh-oh, where's Jesus? And nobody knew where he was. They go to the family, and they're asking, Jesus with you guys? No, not with us. And they're thinking, good glory, we have lost the Son of God. And so, hey, I don't know about you, but I would be sweating right about that time. I'm sorry. So they go back, and they're like, 2-3 days, they're looking for him. They're in Jerusalem. And where did they find him? They found him in the synagogue. Okay, now remember, Jesus had brothers and sisters. He's 12 years old. Some of those brothers and sisters would already have been born by then. So this whole thing of turn around and go back to Jerusalem, one or two things happened. Mary and Joseph went back and took the other kids with them, or they said, can you take, you know, to another, you know, Mary's sister or Joseph's brother, whatever, can you take our kids with you on back to your place and watch them till we get there? We got to go find the Messiah. He's somewhere. We don't know where. But the other kids would have known that. Those kids that had any, and then not only that, but you know how kids are, siblings? They tell the other siblings everything that goes on. So whenever a new kid gets born, they wait till the kid's smart enough to understand, well, let us tell you what happened when he was 12. Mom and dad, you know, they had to all worry, they're all upset, you know, I mean, you know, he's good to have as a brother, but still, there's just something different about him. He always cleans his room, and Mom never has to tell him. Can you understand what I'm getting at? Is it possible that his brothers and sisters were still maybe a little, you know, they had an issue with Jesus? I don't know. Maybe not. But I do know this, according to what we read here, he marveled because of their unbelief. You would think if anybody would believe, it would be his brothers and sisters. Because you don't think that as Jesus was, there was another place where the Pharisees, they confronted Jesus and they said, we be not born of fornication. Remember that? You know what they're saying? We know that your mama got around. And that Joseph and your mama, well, let's just say you ain't from them. You understand what they were implying? And you don't think that sooner or later, Jesus, that his siblings would have been playing with the other kids, and then sooner or later, one of these kids is going to be saying, my mommy told me that your mommy said God got her pregnant. Your mommy's weird. You know how kids are. And do you not think that once Jesus' siblings heard that, they would have gone back to Mary? Mommy, you know, Billy was telling me, you don't think those questions came up? Sure. How do you think Mary would have responded? Do you think she would have lied? No. She would have told the story. How hard would that have been to believe as a kid? You know, what? An angel? What? What? And then the siblings go to Jesus. Who are you really? You follow what I'm getting at? You know, sometimes you have to assimilate between the lines in all of this. But then this day shows up, or comes around, and in spite of everything he has done, the teachings, the explanations about what the law was really saying, the healings, the miracles, all these things, he marveled at their unbelief. Even his own family. Now, Mary, she pondered these things in her heart. You understand? Mary, she followed him around. I can't see that Mary was a part of the unbelief. But his brothers and sisters, yeah. They thought he was beside himself. After everything he had done, his family, brothers and sisters, they still did not believe who he was. And they thought he was deranged, when in reality, he was perfectly sane. They didn't believe it. I look over in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Jesus has been preaching a sermon, and we'll just go straight to verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, this is where he was talking about eat the flesh, drink the blood, and so on, and Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Or who can accept it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Now stop there and think about this. You have all these masses of people, alright? Now, how many of you, you don't have to raise hands, okay? Just sit and think about this. How many of you have ever said anything to any of your family members about what's going on in this church? How many of you have said anything about to your brother, sister, cousin, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, I don't care. You said something to your family, man, I'm telling you what. Boy, you know, the teaching there, I mean, I finally understand what this passage is about. How many of you have said anything at all to your family? You don't think that the 12 apostles did that? You better believe they did. Peter, where are you going, man? Ah, Jesus, you know, we're headed over to Capernaum. Let me tell you what's been happening. There was this blind, and there was this deaf, and there was it, and then John and James, the rest of them, they're telling. You get this? So now here we are at this place where this happens, and Jesus is teaching, and instead of doing what they should have done, which is, Jesus, explain this a little bit more about eating flesh and drinking blood, because you know the law forbids this. So what exactly are you talking about? And he would have explained, I'm talking about a blood covenant, which they should have understood anyway. But a bunch of them, they turned their back, and it says here they walked with him no more. So my question is this. Out of all these people that turned and walked away, how many of them would have been relatives to Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, etc.? And so how many of those 12 were watching family members walk away from the Son of God? And then Jesus looks at them and says, are you going to go too? And Peter says, where would we go? I mean, you have the words of life. Now, how many of us have relatives who totally reject our testimony and profession of faith? How many? When I say reject our testimony and profession of faith, here's what I mean. My profession of faith, Jesus Christ, the only hope for salvation, got to believe in him and so forth. But my testimony is, here's what the Word of God says. God's Word says, be holy, therefore you have to be holy. You can't live this way and go to heaven. You can't do these things as a lifestyle and expect to go to heaven. You follow what I'm getting at? My profession of faith and my testimony. How many of us in this room have family members? Mom, dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, niece, nephew, cousins, etc. How many of us have family members who have rejected our testimony and our profession of faith? Every one of you in here probably have at least one family member like that. No matter what you say, no matter what you declare, no matter what you show them in the Bible, they reject it. Same thing that happened with Jesus. Same thing that happened with the apostles. So then, what do we do? Are we not concerned for our family members? Was Jesus not concerned for his brothers and sisters? He marveled at their unbelief. But was he not concerned? Well, sure he was concerned. Do you think that they would have felt as though he was rejecting them? Where's Jesus? Where's your big brother? You know, he's off somewhere on a seashore telling people about God. Well, he's the oldest. Isn't he supposed to be doing the carpentry work? Yeah, he is. But he ain't here. We're having to pick it up, carry the slack. You follow me? Well, hey, where's your brother Jesus? I mean, we're here for your sister's birthday, were it? Now, you know, he's over there in Galilee somewhere. Probably stirring up trouble in some synagogue. You follow this? He cares more about what he's doing. Let's put it in our vernacular. He cares more about church than he does his own family. Same thing. There's no difference in this. So then what do? How do we handle this? I venture to say there are some of us who have not handled this very well. And let me create another scenario. Here's Jesus. Here's his family. They think he is deranged. Jesus, you're beside yourself. You're deranged. Scripture doesn't record this, and I say it did not happen. But what he didn't do, you think I'm deranged? I think you nincompoops are deranged. You're the ones that are, you know what I'm saying? All right, how many of us have done that in conversations with family? You think I'm nuts? You're the one who's crazy. Look at what you're doing. Don't you see what God's Word says? What's your problem? I just wonder how many of us can relate to that. You better get your life straight. You better turn or you're going to burn. You better get right or you're going to get left. Now, I know I'm, you know, being silly, but we know how many times have we been talking to family members and they're, you know, unbelief, right? And on the inside, we just feel it rising up. And we wish we could just slap the unbelief right out of them. You believe? Whap, whap. You believe? Whap, whap. No, whap, whap. Well, what are we supposed to do? Well, let me show you. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. Look over in Philippians. Let me show you what we're supposed to do. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And then one of our favorite verses, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Okay, this is what we're supposed to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is what we're supposed to do. Now hear me. And I'm getting ready to step on some thin ice. But you're not to chase after your family. You're to be chasing after Jesus. You telling me I'm supposed to... No, no. I'm not telling you to reject your family. Look in Matthew chapter 12. Look at Matthew chapter 12. See, this is where it gets extremely challenging for a lot of Christians. Because they really do not understand God's perspective in all this. And I've been accused of saying people are to neglect their family. Now I'm paraphrasing, but I've been accused of saying that. And I never said that. But what I'm saying is, if we do not get God's perspective in this, we will miss God. And not only that, we will be a poor example to our family. Now look at this. In Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. You see that? Now, look at it presented a little differently over in Luke. It's the same scenario, but Luke chapter 8. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 19, then came to him his mother and his brethren who could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. See that? Now, do you realize what Jesus is saying? He's not rejecting his family, but what he's doing is looking beyond the cross to the true family. And the true family that you have are those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus, those who do the will of your Father, those who hear the word of God and do it. Those who don't, these are the standards that God's put in his word, okay? Please don't get all upset with me. I'm just reading you what Jesus Christ himself has said. Those who don't do this, Jesus is saying they're not as close to you as you think. And now listen to me. They don't care about you as much as you think. Because when you have family that criticize you for being in a church that believes in being born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, signs, wonders, miracles, so on and so forth, they criticize you for being in a church like that, do you understand what they're saying is, I do not believe all of God's will, and I reject portions of His Word. How are they doing you any good? But they're my family. Don't you understand, Brother Martin? The Bible says that blood is thicker than water. Do you understand what that means? I didn't write that down. Here's what that's talking about. It's talking about a blood covenant is thicker than the birth family. What happens when a person's born? The water breaks. Blood is thicker than water. The blood covenant that you have through the blood of Jesus Christ with your God is more binding than what you have here on earth. Why is that? Because the people who are truly born again are the ones you're going to spend eternity with. And the ones, even the people under the same roof, if they've rejected Him, you will not see them. I don't know how eternity works. I don't know if after a few million years we kind of forget about the people we were here on earth with. I don't know. But I'm telling you this, those people who are living the way Jesus has described are the ones you will be living with as family for all eternity. Now, if you look in John chapter 4, John chapter 4, in verse 34, Jesus said, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. My meat, my sustenance, my source of supply is by doing His will. Look in John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. John chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. What might Jesus' own will have been? To go to His sister's birthday party. Now, I don't know that they had birthday parties like we. I don't know what they did, but I'm trying to help you understand this. His will, the way He was raised in that culture would have been, you go to your family's birthday parties. You go to the family this and the family, you do this, because that we're Jews. This is how we are. We're family. This is how it is. And Jesus said, I didn't come to do my own will. Yeah, if it was left up to me, I'd be back home with the family. And we'd be blowing out the candles on the birthday cake and so on and so forth. But I can't do that because I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of Him that sent me. And so that's part of the reason why, you know, His family was upset with Him. They marveled. He's beside Himself. He doesn't understand. Now listen to me. He doesn't understand how critically important family is. Well, He does. And He was on earth setting the stage and laying the foundation for the eternal family of God. He did understand. But now here's what's interesting. Jesus never turned His back on His family. Never. He marveled at their unbelief, which means they turned their back on Him. Everything He did, the healings, the miracles, as He was teaching and explaining, here's what the prophets are talking about. Me. Here's this. Here's that. Search the Scriptures, for they tell you of Me. His family rejected Him. He didn't reject them. If any of them had come to Him, if one of His sisters had come to Him and said, Jesus, I'm feeling lousy. I'm feeling terrible. You know, could you just lay your hands on me? What do you think He'd do? You know what He would do. He'd lay his hand on her. She'd be healed. If he was available to all the other masses of people, he was available to his family, and it's not his fault they rejected him. Now listen to me. When it comes to family, Jesus never rejected his family, but he was living a life that demonstrated to his family what he could and would do for them. And it's not his fault that they rejected. It's not his fault they turned their backs on him. And the thing is, his family could not deny what they were witnessing in his life and ministry. And that's the thing. See, for us, we want our family saved. You don't think Jesus wanted his family saved? You don't think that he wanted them to believe in him? Sure he did. Absolutely. Well, we know that, you know, his mother Mary did. But beyond that, it's the same thing for us. We want our family saved. We want them. We want our family. And the ones that have never professed Jesus, the ones who have professed Jesus, but man, they turned their backs on him big time. The ones who have professed Jesus, but they're kind of, you know, they're not living a committed life the way they should. Okay, we want them all together. We want them in this church with us. But if this isn't the best church for them, okay, as long as they get born again and they follow God into the church that He knows is going to work best for them, glory to God. But that's what we want. We want them in the kingdom, living a kingdom life. That's what we want. So, Jesus didn't want the same for His family? You know He did. He was on the way to the cross for them. And He wanted them to believe in Him because, now listen, He knew if they didn't, where they would spend eternity. And yet we don't see Him chasing after His family. What we see is Him living God's will in front of His family as a living, breathing testimony of somebody who's serving God. And they're the ones that rejected Him. For us, what we do is this. We keep pressing in, conforming to the image of the glory of Jesus Christ. What we do is we keep pressing toward the mark to attain unto the fullness of what God has desired for us in how we live. We live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. These are the standards for us today if we are truly going to be the examples and the testimonies to our family members under the same roof or the extended family. Don't reject your family. Never reject your family. But you let them know, yeah, I'm always available for you, but not at the sake of compromising God's word or His will. Remember what Jesus said when He was praying. He said, Father, as You've sent Me, I'm sending them. Okay, do you realize that's all of us in here who have professed Jesus Christ, accepted Him as Lord and Savior. We have been sent as He was sent. How was He sent? Not to do His own will, but the will of God. That's the same thing for us. We have been sent forth not to do our own will, not to do the will of family that puts pressure on us, but we are sent forth to do the will of God. And we're available to our families, are we not? But think about this. How many times have our families, even those who profess Jesus as Savior, how many times have they put pressure on us to compromise what we know we're supposed to do? Here's Jesus. He wakes up one day and he says, okay, Mom, you know, I'm going to have to take off. I have to go to Capernaum. And so Jesus gets his bag together and he's walking out the house. And his brothers, where are you going? We got work to do. He says, I have to go to Capernaum. You were just there last month. What do you mean? I'm sorry, guys. I have to do God's will. God's will. Yeah, you're a slacker. Well, you don't care about us. How many of us can relate to these things? God never said, Life on earth is going to be easy. There are going to be challenges. Jesus said, if they've done it unto me, they're going to do it unto you. Now here's something to keep in mind. Jesus went to the cross, died, was raised from the dead. Now we know that his mother Mary believed in him. And it is inevitable that there would have been other family members that probably believed in him. But remember the whole thing of he marveled at their unbelief and his brothers, he's beside himself and his brothers, they didn't believe in him. Well, after he was raised from the dead, his brother James and his brother Jude did believe. In fact, Scripture records this, he appeared to James after his resurrection. And James and Jude became two of the most powerful pillars in the early church. And James is the one who, Jesus' brother James, is the one who wrote the book of James in the Bible. And his brother Jude is the one who wrote the book of Jude in the Bible. This happened after he ascended back to the Father. Here's what I'm getting at. Keep living Christ before your family. Do not compromise. Get in there with God. And here's where the pressure is. Get in there with God and know what His will is. And then do His will. Be prepared for the criticism, because it will come. Be prepared for the accusations. Be prepared for all the stuff that will be said from family. From family. Be prepared. Keep doing the will of God. Because you don't know if James and Jude in your family are this close to yielding over to Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? You don't know that. But one thing I do know is this. When you are living sold out to Jesus Christ, your family cannot deny what they see in you. And as you keep pressing in, and the day comes when you start, you pray for people and they're healed, you don't think your family's going to hear about this? Yes, they will. And they won't be able to deny it. And I'm telling you right now, be prepared for them to come to you and say, tell me more about all this, because there is something different about you. Yes, there is. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. So guys, be encouraged by this. It's not about rejecting family. It's about being available for family, but it's also about loving Him and doing what He wants above and beyond all that stuff that family thinks you should do above the will of God. Hallelujah. Please stand. Father, I know that this could be a very challenging message for some people, but yet we see an example in Scripture of how it went for Jesus. So, Father, we need to be prepared that these kind of things could happen with us as well. But the most important thing that we need to remember is that now that we're born again, You are our Father. And those who are truly born again, they are our eternal brothers and sisters. We will not neglect our earthly family, but Father, Your will has to be number one. So I pray that we will all press into You more and more to know Your will, not just Your general will as revealed in the Word, but Your specific will for all of us. And that, Father, we will cast down emotions that want to discolor and lead us away from the will, but that, Father, we would know Your will. We would truly know Your will and then live it, because we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us.